Mr. Cardon had spent part of his life in the merchant marine as a doctor on a whaling ship when he acquired habits and ideas that were quite materialistic. He retired to the town of Jay, where he had a modest practice as a country doctor. After some time, he became certain that he had hypertrophy of the heart, and knowing that the illness was incurable, he sank into a state of inconsolable melancholy at the prospect of dying. Nobody could cheer him up. Approximately 2 months before his death, he actually predicted the day on which he would die. When the time came, he gathered his family around him to say his final farewell. His wife, mother, three children, and other relatives were gathered at his bedside. At his wife's first attempt to lift him up, he went limp and turned a livid purple. His eyes closed and he was thought to be dead. His wife placed herself in front of him to prevent the children from seeing him. After a few minutes, he reopened his eyes, however. His appearance became luminous, so to speak, and filled with an expression of radiant beatitude, he exclaimed, "Oh, my children, it's beautiful, it's sublime. Oh, death, what a blessing, what a sweet thing. I was dead, and I felt my soul rise up high, very high. But God allowed me to return in order to tell you, do not fear death, it is deliverance. I cannot possibly describe the magnificence of all I saw, the impressions I experienced. You would not comprehend them. Oh, my children, always conduct yourselves in such a way that you will merit the ineffable happiness reserved for righteous men. Live according to the precepts of charity. If you have anything, always give a part of it to those who lack the necessities of life. My dear wife, I am leaving you in a less than desirable position. There are debts owed to us, but I beg you not to hound our debtors. If they are in financial straits, wait until they can pay you, and those who cannot repay you at all, forgive them. God will reward you. You, my son, work to support your mother. Always be honest and avoid doing anything that might dishonor our family. Take this cross. I inherited it from my mother. Never lay it aside, and may it always remind you of my last words of advice. My children, help each other and mutually support one another. May harmony reign amongst you. Do not be vain or proud. Forgive your enemies if you want God to forgive you." Then, signaling them to come closer, he took their hands and added, "Bless you, my children," and his eyes closed for good. His face, however, retained such a stately expression that up until the moment of his funeral, crowds of people viewed it with wonder. A friend of the family supplied us with these interesting details, and we thought that an evocation might be instructive for all of us and useful to the spirit himself. Evocation. I'm right by you. We have been told about your last moments, and we were left amazed. Would you be so kind as to describe to us in more detail what you saw in the time period between what we might call your two deaths?
What I saw.
Would you be able to comprehend it?
I don't know. Since I can't find the appropriate expressions to make comprehensible what I saw during the brief moments when it was possible for me to leave my mortal envelope.
Do you know where you were? Was it far from the Earth, on some other planet, or in space?
A spirit doesn't measure distances as you do. Carried away by some unknown magnificent power, I saw the splendors of a sky that is only possible in dreams. That race through the infinite was so fast that I can't determine the time it took for my spirit.
And are you now enjoying the happiness you foresaw at that time?
No. I would certainly love to enjoy it, but God can't reward me that much. I too often revolted against the blessed thoughts my heart dictated to me, and death seemed like an injustice. A disbelieving physician, I acquired in the art of healing an aversion toward the second nature, which is our intelligent divine impulse. For me, the immortality of the soul was nothing more than a fiction fit to seduce the uneducated. And yet, nothingness frightened me, because many times I found myself cursing the mysterious agent that strikes over and over again. Philosophy deceived me without enabling me to understand all the grandeur of the Eternal One. Who knows how to mete out both sorrow and joy in order to teach humankind? Did you realize the state you were in right after the final disengagement of your spirit? No. I only came to myself during the transition that my spirit experienced while traveling through the ethereal regions. But after my real death, that did not happen immediately. It took me a few days to awaken. God granted me a favor, and I will tell you why. My original disbelief no longer existed. Before I died, I started to believe, for after having scientifically and truly fathomed the disease that was tormenting me, I could find no other earthly explanation except divine reason, which inspired and consoled me and gave me courage that was stronger than my pain. Thus, I, blessed with what I had cursed and regarded the end as liberation, the idea of God is as vast as the universe. Oh, what supreme consolation there is in prayer! It arouses ineffable sentiments. It is the most positive element of our non-material nature. Through prayer I understood, I believed firmly and supremely, and that is why God, in weighing my good deeds, rewarded me before the end of my incarnation. Could one say that you were actually dead during the first instance? Yes and no. Since my spirit had abandoned its body, the flesh naturally started to decay. However, in repossessing my earthly dwelling, life returned to the body, which had undergone a transition, a sleep. At that moment, did you feel the ties that reconnected you to your body? Of course! The spirit has a bond that it is hard to break, and it cannot enter its natural life until the last shudder of the flesh. How could it be that at your apparent death, and for a few minutes thereafter, your spirit could have disengaged itself instantaneously and without bewilderment, whereas your real death was followed by several days of confusion? It seems that in the first case, with the ties between soul and body lasting longer than in the second, the disengagement should have been slower, which is just the opposite of what actually happened. You have often invoked incarnate spirits and have received precise responses on the matter. I was in a state similar to theirs. God called me and a servant said, "Come." I obeyed and thanked him for the special favor that was granted to me so that I could glimpse and comprehend his infinite grandeur. I am grateful to those who, before my real death, allowed me to instruct my loved ones so that they might lead good and righteous incarnations. Where did you get the beautiful words that you spoke to your family after your awakening? They were a reflection of what I had seen and understood. Good spirits inspired my language and enlivened my expressions. What impressions do you think your revelation had on those watching over you, especially your children? Surprising, profound, death does not lie. No matter how ungrateful they might be, children always bend an ear to an incarnation that is ending. If we could enter our children's hearts as they are gathered around the open grave, we would see the beating of true and sincere feelings as they are touched by the unseen hands of spirits who speak to their innermost thoughts. Tremble if you doubt. Death is reparation, the justice of God. Let me assure you that in spite of their disbelief, my family and friends believed the words I spoke before I died. Moreover, I was the interpreter of another world.
You stated that you were not presently enjoying the happiness you foresaw. May we conclude that you are unhappy?
No. Since I became a believer in both heart and conscience before I died, pain afflicts us while on earth, but strengthens us from the point of view of our future as spirits. Notice that God took into account my prayers and the absolute faith I had in Him. I am firmly on the path of perfection, and will someday reach the end of that I was allowed to glimpse. Pray, my friends, for this invisible world that presides over your destinies. This sort of fraternal exchange comes from charity. It is a lever that puts spirits of all worlds in communication with one another.
Do you perchance wish to say a few words to your wife and children?
I would ask them all to believe in the powerful, just, and immutable God, in prayer which consoles and relieves, in charity which is the purest practice of human incarnation, and that they remember that we can always give a little, at least. The alms which the poor give are most meritorious before God. Who knows that they gave so much when they give a little? The rich must give a lot and repeatedly in order to merit as much. The future lies in the charity and benevolence of each action, and in the belief that all spirits are family, and that we should never let childish vanities prevail. You will experience harsh trials, my dear beloved family, but accept them courageously, remembering that God is watching you. Repeat this prayer often. God of love and goodness, who grants all things, give us greater strength to bear all our ups and downs, and enable us to be good, humble, and charitable, small of fortune, but great of heart. Grant that we may be spiritists while on earth, so that we might comprehend and love you more. May your name, O my God, emblem of freedom, be the consoling aim of all who are oppressed, of all who need to love, forgive, and believe.